I have some congratulations that I would like to give to you, church. And the congratulations are these. Congratulations, you have a unique purpose. There it is. And I know that some of you are wondering about that purpose. How do I know that? Because research tells us that 68% of Americans say that they often wonder about what their unique purpose is. And there's some research that even looks at that more specifically, that 21% of Americans think about that on a monthly basis. Some of us, 21% to be exact, other 21%, think about that on a weekly basis as well. This is something that we think about often. What is my unique purpose? And the reality is, we all have one. We all have a unique purpose. Now, we're not talking about a job here. For some people, your unique purpose may be expressed through your job. About 28% of people say that they find purpose in their job. So the rest of folks may need to find purpose outside of job. But job may be expressed, right? It may be a way to express purpose, but it's not definitely a way to express purpose. So we need to think about what are ways that we can express purpose. Now, here's the reality. It says this in Ephesians 2:10, just to show that you do have purpose. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So you have purpose, and that purpose is unique to you, and it is to do the good works that God has already in mind for you specifically to go about doing. See, God has shaped you just so to fit a specific need in the world that you can meet. Do you remember this toy? We got a picture of this toy. This toy with different shapes, you remember that? I think they still make these things. It's like timeless, this toy, right? And you take the star and you have to fit the star through the star shape. The same is true for each one of us. We are shaped uniquely, and that receiving end is for us to live out that purpose. And this is foundational to our relationship with Jesus. That's why we're looking at this in the midst of this series called Foundations, Foundational Beliefs and Practices of the Christian Faith. So we believe that God has created us for a reason, a unique reason. And that when we discover that, it's just like taking the star and that sweet sense of success as we place it through the shape that fits it just right. Yeah? So how is it then that we discover our purpose? Here's the good news. Everybody put your hand out like this. I want you to look in your hand. There it is. Your unique purpose is sitting in your hand. You're thinking, I don't see anything in my hand. I don't know what you're talking about here, but there's nothing in my hand right now. Let me show you with some scripture that your purpose is sitting in your hand. Okay, we're gonna look at Gideon in the book of Judges. So you're gonna need either a Bible or look at the screens behind me. There's Bibles on them, so pass those down. That person sitting next to you that's awkwardly wondering, are they gonna give me a Bible or not? I don't know if they're gonna give a Bible. Go ahead and give them one, it's okay. We're all family here. Pass the Bibles along so that everybody can see, and then help one another find out where is Judges chapter 6. So when somebody finds it, what page is it on? Call it out. That page that I didn't hear, did you hear it? 208, there you go. So now we've got the Bible open, Judges chapter 6. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna look at Gideon, and first we need to understand, when did Gideon live and what was going on at the time that Gideon was living? So we're gonna look at this in Judges chapter 6. And this is what was happening at the time. It says this: the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years, he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. Now, what do you picture when you picture help in this situation? I picture like this highly trained warriors that are needed to overthrow the Midianite oppressive terrorism, like a whole army of Jason Bournes. That's what's needed in this situation, because the Midianites are so, there's so many of them and they're oppressing Israel so much. That's what I picture help. God had a different picture in mind. He had a guy named Gideon. Now, when we come across Gideon in this passage, it says that we first find him threshing wheat in a wine press. Threshing wheat in a wine press. Now, we actually can learn something about Gideon and about the time that he lived by thinking this through a little bit. So threshing wheat, the way that that's done is on a threshing floor, and wine press is pressed within a specific constructed depression in the earth. So we have pictures of this for you. So when you think about threshing wheat, you take the wheat, you kind of crush it up as best you can, and then you throw it up, and the breeze carries all of the stuff that's not wanted, and it separates it because it's lighter weight than the kernels. And the kernels of wheat, they then fall down, and that's what you can use for cooking. So you need kind of an open area for the breeze to pass through. Now, I ask you, would you do this in a hole? You're not going to encounter very much breeze to carry away the chaff of the wheat in a hole. And yet this is where Gideon did his work of threshing wheat, in a wine press, which is depressed down into the ground. So what does that tell us about him? It tells us that perhaps he was not Jason Bourne, right? He was perhaps not seeing himself as God's mighty warrior to cast the Midianites away, because he was like hiding out. I hope they don't take this one little kernel of wheat, and I'm going to just kind of hide down here and hope that nobody sees it, right? That's Gideon. That's how he saw himself in this time when the Midianites were oppressing the Israelites. And God saw something different. God said to Gideon, he called him a mighty warrior. A mighty warrior. And Gideon is puzzled by that. God says this. The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand." Put your hand back out. Go in the strength you have. See, with this unique purpose thing, God is not asking us to be somebody else. If you're shaped like a square, a triangle, an oval, a star, he's not asking you to be something different. He's asking you to be you and to go in the strength that's right there in your hand, just like he asked of Gideon. So then it stands to reason that we would look and say, what is the strength that we have? Because God is saying, go in that strength. We're going to look at four ways to approach discovering what our unique purpose is. And these are things that you already have. Okay? So we're going to take a look at the first one. The first one that you already have is you have some kind of passion. I know a guy who is really passionate about exotic automobiles. He devoted his career to finding them and to selling them at auction. He has a whole collection of exotic automobiles. He decided he was going to build a big warehouse to put them and then invite people to come look at them. He is passionate about rare automobiles. So that's one form of passion. And you may have passions that are like that. Some of you have gardens that are so beautiful that produce all kinds of fruit or beautiful flowers. You're passionate about gardening. You've got some passions already in your life. There's another kind of passion that we also want to consider. This passion, when we encounter something, when we hear about it, read about it, or learn about it, the hairs on the back of our neck stand up. Our thinking about this thing, it invades our thoughts and we can't escape it. Our heart beats a little bit faster around these particular passions. And these passions are an expression of the character of God. These passions are at the point where it's beautifully interwoven, where God has created us and embedded his character within us in the form of the Holy Spirit. And so there are some specific things that when we encounter them, we get pretty hot about those. I don't like that right there. That makes me uncomfortable. I want to do something about that. I want to see that eradicated. I don't want to see people hurting because of that thing right there. We get angry about it. Each of us has some of these things in our lives. And if we're real honest with ourselves, we're a little bit scared of them. Because if we engage with these things, that might overtake our lives. And so we just kind of back away a little bit and we distract ourselves. We make sure that we remain busy and we look at other things instead. And we go out for another meal and rent another Amazon movie to try to not think about these things that raise our blood pressure, that get our attention in a way that we say, okay, I don't like that. I don't want to see that anymore. Y'all, these passions, they're a reflection of the character of God. They're a reflection of what he sees. And when he sees them, he feels the same way. And so as we discover these passions, we discover the heart of God and how he resides within us. Last week, I was on a long run listening to a podcast that featured my favorite business researcher, Jim Collins. And he was sharing about his latest research and he posed a question. And I thought, that question, it's so relevant to the discovery of our passions. So I'm going to share this question with you. It's this: what do you want to be responsible for which you will get no credit? That is a revealing question. And what it reveals are these passions that we have. I don't need the credit. I just need and am responsible to address that thing right there. What is it that is your passion from this angle that also captivates the heart of God? Is it poverty? Is it systemic racism? Abused children? Homelessness, sex trafficking, immoral business practices, young people drifting away from God, education gaps. What is it that wrecks you? That you say, I've got to do something about that. What is that for you? I want you to grab a pen and I want you to write down a couple of things that are candidates in your life for this particular thing. I'm going to give you a moment to do just that, to write down some possibilities that come to mind. What else do you have in your hand? Do you know what else you have? You also have experiences, right? Each of us has experiences. Each has unique experiences. I want to share with you about the experiences of a Life Center family member named Neil. This is Neil, and he's holding one of his grandkiddos. This is Cole. Neil is a phenomenal follower of Jesus. And Neil, 30 years ago this month, Neil lost his wife. She was killed in a car accident, tragically and abruptly. Neil said to me that she was 36 and was about as healthy as you could get. And at the time, their children were 3, 6, and 8. Neil describes it as, I went into this tailspin because I didn't know which way was up. This was not the life that I pictured. Neil leaned heavily into Jesus' presence in his life. And God has helped him to be able to come to a point of continuing on, holding that grief, because it's a lifelong process, but continuing forward. A few years later, Neil met Natalie. And Natalie and Neil fell in love and got married. And they worked through blending of their families, because Natalie had 2 kids, Neil had 3, and they come together with this beautiful mess. And in 2017, Natalie got breast cancer that metastasized, and she battled it for 4 years before passing away in 2022. Now, I cannot imagine losing my wife, but to go through that pain twice, I can't even comprehend it. This is the experience of Neil's life. Now, Neil continued to lean heavily into his relationship with Jesus. And there's a beautiful thing that has come out of this pain, these experiences of Neil's life. Neil is now one of the leaders of Grief Share here at Life Center. Grief Share is about a 10-week journey that helps people who are going through grief. It helps them create a pathway that would be redemptive and healing, where they can figure out how to make sense of the grief that's in their life. Neil is one of the leaders. And I tell you, I have zero reservation in recommending people to Grief Share with Neil and the other leaders, because they have all encountered grief. This verse, 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4 says this: "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." This experiences of Neil's life, he received the comfort of God, and now he reflects that and shares that with the people that he gets to serve in Grief Share. Each of us has unique experiences. Some of those experiences are painful. Some of those experiences are triumphant, victorious. Some of those experiences are educational. We have all kinds of experiences in our lives that have uniquely shaped who we are. What are some of your unique experiences? Would you take a moment and just start jotting those down? Experiences that you have had in your life. Write down a couple of them. back to our hand and what might be in our hand. You know what else we have in our hand? We have existing relationships. We have relationships with neighbors, family, friends, coworkers, the coffee shop barista that we go to on a regular basis. We have people that we encounter on a regular basis, relationships that we've got. These relationships inform this unique purpose. They help us to see where we might be designed to serve and who it is that we might be designed to serve. These relationships may open doors for us to avenues where God has designed us to walk through and be part of. There's another individual here at Life Center that I would love to share this story with you because it shows how relationships were helpful to him in discovering unique purpose. So this is Colby's story. And as we listen to it, would you listen for the relationships that were part of shaping his direction? Let's hear Colby.
Dear Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful Saturday, for the opportunity to serve you, for the people in line that we get to love, and for the volunteers and the provision of the food you provided. Lord, let every interaction between volunteers and our neighbors bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
This is where I should be right now. I should be doing this, and it's super important to me. I'm just like church, I'm there every single week, and again, there's no place else I'd rather be on a Saturday from 8:30 to 12:15.
Hey, today we're talking about the resurrection of Jesus. I hope that's obvious. It's Easter, and I think that God's gonna do something in you today.
First day going was Easter of 2023. And little did I know it was the best decision I've ever made in my entire life. And then I think it was maybe the second or third time that I went where, you know, Michael says, with everyone's heads, you know, down, eyes closed, raise your hand if you wanna accept Jesus and follow him. And that's when I did it. And just the overwhelming feeling that I got was unexplainable. The first thing that happened is I joined a group. It was freeing to be able to talk about the things that I wanted to talk about and the experiences that I'm going through and the spiritual journey that I'm on. We all have the same goal, is to follow Jesus, be better, give our lives away. So it's guided my faith, my spiritual journey in a very positive direction. I don't think that I'd be where I'm at without joining that first group. And it honestly is like a second family. But we were in the group and we thought it would be a really good idea to go do serve day as a group. Initially, just gonna do serve day and then be done with it. Hey, I did serve day, I can check that box. Yes, it was out of my comfort zone. And so we all showed up. We got our little name tags when we showed up, did the serve day. And I think to me, it was like joining the group, right? I was kind of nervous, like, I don't know, I don't really, should I go, should I not go? But I went, and it is a part of my weekly routine. Every Saturday, I would get up, and now I got my Southside Food Pantry shirt, and they're getting me a name tag and everything, so it's been really fun.
Have a great day, God bless you both. You're welcome.
Well, God bless you, Blago Slovenia. You're welcome.
So to me, I mean, it's no contest. Like, there's nowhere else I'd rather be, and yeah, I don't see it leaving my schedule. I just feel it needs to be done, and use me to do it. It's what Jesus would do. He gave everything. So why can't you give 3 hours? That seemed kind of combative, that last bit. Why can't you? Calling him out. Come to Southside Food Pantry, hang out with me, get they give you free donuts and coffee and ice cream there at the end. It's a lot of fun, and you will be glad that you went.
Did you see relationships all over the place as Colby discovered? Did you hear the beginning of what he said? This is where I need to be. What a beautiful, when he said that, you could feel the passion behind him. You could feel the sense of purpose that he has discovered. And it was through relationships that he got there. right? The relationships in the group that had this bright idea, let's do serve day together. And he's thinking, yeah, I don't know about that. And then they gave him the strength and the encouragement to do that. And that opened a door. And now every Saturday he wouldn't miss. We've all got these kinds of relationships that are in our lives that would encourage us toward the opportunities that God has for us to live out our unique purpose. So, what are those relationships for you? And when we think about how we go about sharing Jesus at Life Center, find someone you love. Tell them what you know. Bring them with you. It's all in a relational context. It's all in a familiar, I know these people. Why wouldn't I tell them what I believe? Why wouldn't I tell them about the unique purpose that I have? Because I care about them. I love them. Find, tell, bring. We might even find, tell, bring with Serve Day. What if somebody that you know ends up being Colby's story? Because you invited them to serve with you this coming Saturday. Can we try that as a church? Can we find a serving project that is attractive to somebody that we know and then say, hey, would you like to serve with me? I'm just going to go for a couple of hours this coming Saturday, and we're going to serve together. I mean, really, are people going to say no to that? Probably not, right? So bring them with you. There is a really cool project at the Salvation Army. Tons of awesome projects, but the Salvation Army, we get to go shopping with kids, and we don't have to pay. That's pretty cool. That one will fill up fast. So go ahead. And if you need to take a time out and just register for that one right now, go for it. Because that one's pretty fun. Okay. What are the relationships? What are the relationships that God has already put in your hand? Who are they? Go ahead. Take a moment. Write those ones down. Back to what's in our hand. You know what else is in our hand? What else is in our hand are specific gifts and specific skills. Gifts and skills are also already in our hand. You are a highly skilled individual. And you're thinking, I don't have any skills, whatever. You've got boatloads of skills, like hundreds of skills, welding and creating spreadsheets and cooking and engine repair and sewing and photography and editing and gardening. There's things that you are skilled at that I am so, like, I don't even know where to start with these things. And you just kind of take them for granted, right? And the same is true the other way around. We have so many unique skills. Just try this out for a minute. Just become self-aware of some of the skills that you've got. Write down a few of them. Oh yeah, I do know how to do Excel spreadsheets. Write that down. Oh yeah, I do know how to make things grow and produce fruit. I can write that down. What is it for you? Just jot a couple of them down real quick. You are highly skilled. We could spend an awful lot of time writing down a whole bunch of skills. Don't doubt that. It's just a matter of coming aware of what these skills are. Now, we've also got gifts. And by gifts, we mean spiritual gifts. A spiritual gift is a special ability given by the Holy Spirit to every believer to be used to minister to others and build up the body of Christ. Gideon, threshing floor, deep in a wine press, right? Threshing wheat in a wine press. Weakest in his family is what he says. The family is the weakest in Israel. This is what it says in scripture. And yet God looks at him and says, mighty warrior. And he goes and he overthrows the Midianites from the tyranny over the Israelites. Is that because of his power? No, it's because of God's power, God working through him. As believers in Jesus, we have the power of the Holy Spirit residing within us, and it is expressed and observed through gifts of the Spirit. And if you want to read some more in scripture about the spiritual gifts, it's right there in your handout. I'd encourage you to reflect on the scriptures that are there and look for how is the Holy Spirit wanting to show up in power in your life. What gifts is God saying? Hey, it's already in your hand. The power of the Spirit is within you, mighty warrior. Go and put it into action. What does all this look like when it comes together? It all looks like unique purpose. And it's already there in our hands. It's just a matter of discovering how these things come together. I'll share with you one of the purposes that I've discovered in my life together with my wife. When we were first married, we had a vision of two boys, 2 years apart. And that would be our family. We have five children. Something. So we had Trevor, and then we lost the child in pregnancy. That was a unique experience. And it caused us to start to think about how God might want to expand our family. And so we brought home Easton from Russia. And at the time, it was, you know, lots of kids were coming home to forever families from Russia. And so we had two boys, 2 years apart. Mission accomplished. Meanwhile, God was wrecking my wife and I for poverty overseas. That's what had this grip on our heart. And we were passionate about bringing solutions to poverty in parts of the world where people are starving, where there's no clean water. And we looked and we said, what could we possibly do? We don't have millions of dollars to drill wells all over Africa. What could we do? And God brought us the scripture that we're looking at today. He said, what do you have in your hand? We said, well, we have experience with adoption, access to clean water and healthcare and education. We've got all of that in our hand, God. What do you want us to do with that? He said, there are orphans in the world. And we need to solve that problem long term. But for now, what if you adopt it again? And so we thought it was going to be a little boy our boy's age. Or then we went back and forth. Maybe it's an infant girl. It was both. And so we bring both of these kids home. We go from a family of four to a family of two kids to a family with four kids. And then my wife, she hears from God much faster than I do. She said, I think there's another one. Older children are much harder to place. And so we brought home Ayelich from Ethiopia as well. So we have one from Russia, three from Ethiopia, and a biological child. And it is the greatest stretch of my life. And it is exactly the life that God has for our family. It is our unique purpose. And do you see how our capacity has grown? We thought two boys, 2 years apart, and God said, oh, that's nice. I have something I want to do through you. You're not up for it. I can say that. Psh, I don't know where to start. Five kids. The gap between what I've got and what I can parent is huge. God says, I'll worry about the gap. Gideon says, I'm the weakest. I can't possibly fight the Midianites. Just go in the strength you have. I'll worry about the gap. The same is true for you. Let God worry about the gap. He wants a life for each one of us that is way beyond our capacity because he wants to add our power. And can you picture with me for a moment a church where the entire church is living way above their capacity because God comes in and makes up the difference. We have people that tell us all the time when they think about our family of five, there's two reactions we hear. One of them is, oh, you're so amazing. And the other one is, oh, you're crazy. But you know what? Both of those reactions are actually an expression of this. I see the power of God. That's what they're actually saying. They don't know how to vocalize that. And so it comes across as, you're crazy, or you're amazing. I'm not amazing. God is amazing. God makes up the difference. Ask my kids. I'm not up to the task. What if we as a church all know our unique purpose? What might the city of Spokane and beyond say about the power of God? Lord Jesus, we pray right now that as we reflect on these four areas, these four areas that you've already put in our hands, God, would you show us and reveal to us exactly our unique purpose? Help us to see, help us to know, and give us the courage to step into it. And like Gideon, allow you to make up the difference. God, we're a people, a church that wants to express you. And so we pray that you would reveal our unique purpose to us, that we may live the lives that you have for us, Lord. Show us what that is. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, if you're new, I'd love the opportunity to meet you. Could you just meet me right up here in the first couple of rows? Would love to say hello and help you get connected at Life Center. Everybody have a great week.